The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Lerfuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefanalo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem tanihenna began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with arichut yamim, health, osher ve'osher ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Daf Chav Gimal. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Lerfuah Shelema Sarah Bat Rachel. En la refanala Rufat HaNefesh Rufat HaGuf Rufat HaKarabah Labo V'chen Yirasom V'nomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Bet Amud Bet, and we start right on the bottom line, starting with Amar of Yehuda. Our discussion and our last daf, the last question we left off with was Mahu Le'ashen. Is it permissible to smoke fruit on Yom Tov? It seems what they would do was they would put some spices on the coals and they put the fruit underneath, and the smoke would go into the fruit and give it a ta'am. So they had a mahloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav held that it is asur, and Shmuel held it was mutar. And the reason why Rav Huna explained why it should be asur is because you are over the isur of mechabeh. Because when you put these spices over the coals, first the coals go out, they extinguish, and then the spices burn. So really it's two things. It's mechabez, which is followed by mavir. So therefore that's why he says it is indeed asud. Now, the only reason why this mechabez would be asud, as she points out, is because it's eno shaveh lechol nefesh. Because such a procedure of smoking the fruits is not really considered a hana'ah that's shaveh, that's equal to everybody. It's only done by, let's say, mifunakin, people that are, finicky people and such things like that. And therefore, it's a problem. Whereas Shmuel said mutar, that she said the ochel nefesh, u'v'ra'uy afla anim. He said, no, this is ochel nefesh, it's food, and it's ra'uy for everybody, not only for the finicky people. So anybody can eat. Anim don't have the mechanisms to make the smoke, but technically they can eat it as well. Therefore, he was matir. Now the Gemara discusses a different case. Amar of Yehuda, al gabeh gachelet asur. That which we said, Rav said it's asur, that's only talking about where you're putting the spices on a gachelet, on a coal. Because when you put the spices on a coal, so the coal extinguishes, it's mechabeh, and then the havara comes on the spices. Aval al gabeh, heres. However, if let's say you heated up a piece of pottery, right, and you drop the spices on top of the pottery, mutar. Why? That she says the kibui leka. Kibui you don't have. It's hot pottery. It's not a coal. You're not extinguishing anything. And the havara that you're doing to the spices is not in the normal manner. Normally, how do you heat the spices and burn spices? With coals, with fire. Here you're doing it with the heat of a pottery. So that's considered shinui. So therefore, at most, it would only be isud rabbanan. And because of Yom Tov, simchat Yom Tov lo gazru. So that's the opinion why al gabeh heres would be permissible to put the spices on them. V'rava amar. Rava says, al gabeh heres name asud. That even putting the spice on the hot pottery is also asur. Why? Mishum dekamolid reha. Because bottom line, you're causing a smell, a fragrant to go into the pottery by putting the spice, and therefore there's a separate isur of creating a smell or a fragrant that wasn't there before. Because now the pottery that had no smell before, by putting the spices in it, you're putting a fragrant in the pottery itself. So that she says the kamolid reha shenichnas beheres, right? It enters the heres. Shelo ayah bo reya. There was no reya there before. V'asum d'rabbanan shamolid davar hadash. When you create a new item, karov hu le'oseh melacha hadasha. It's like the like similar sud rabbanan of doing a melacha. You're creating now a smell that wasn't there. So comes Gemara and says, Rabba v'Rav Yosef tamid tarvayu. Rabba and Rav Yosef both said, sechufe chasa ashira'e biyom ha'tava asur. So that she says, what does this mean? You take a kos that you have, let's say, besamim, spices there, and the smoke is coming out of the besamim, let's say, right? So you want to put the shirayim, the silk or the clothes, you want to put it over the kos. Why? In order that the fragrant from the kos will go in. I don't even know if there's smoke over it. So how much you just have smell? You have a fragrant aroma that's coming out of the cup, and you want to put the clothes over it so that aroma will go into the begadim. So the Gemara wants to say that's asur. Why? Again, the clothes before that did not have any smell, not any fragrance. By putting it over this kelim with the fragrance in it, so now you're creating a smell where there wasn't. That's considered molid reha, which is asur on yom tov. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Let's say you have a fragrance, you have a spice, right? So the Gemara is going to say later on, you can be molelit. How do you be molelit? You rub the spice between the fingers in order to get the smell out. Or let's say you have a spice, you're allowed to cut it, right? And you can smell it from the place where you cut it. So therefore you're also creating a smell. There was no smell there seemingly, and now you're allowed to create the smell by rubbing it with your fingers or cutting it, clipping it. So Gemara says, no, there the fragrant was there already in the spices. All you're doing it by rubbing it, you're just adding it to make the spice, the smell a little stronger, to enhance it. Here in the clothes, there was no smell bichlal, and therefore you're adding a smell that wasn't there. That already is considered molid recha. So there's a difference between enhancing a smell by rubbing it or clipping it that was there already. However, to create a smell that wasn't there from the onset, like in the begadim, so that indeed is going to be asur. Rava amar, Rava says, al gabe gachelet name mutar. Rava says, even to put these spices on the gahelet is going to, on the coals, is going to be permissible. Hi, what about mechabeh? What about the fact that you're putting out the coals? So he says, midi dava abisra agumre, because it's similar to basar, meat, that you put on the coals. What's the similarity? So look at Rashi. Rava amar agabe gahelet name mutar kishmuel. First of all, you have to say also kishmuel de oche nefeshu. And clearly, it is shaveh lechon nefesh. And therefore, Shmuel, as well as this opinion, wants to say it's mutar. Ve'im yishum kibui v'avara ve'elude recha. Well, you have all these other problems. What about the kibui aspect? What about the havara aspect? What about the molid recha? Midi davi abisra gumre. It's no different than basad that's on the coals, dika kolhani veshare, which means has all these same problems over here, and it's still permissible, which means when you put the basad on the coals, what happens to the coals? When you, initially, when you put it down, the coals diminish, because you're putting it right on the coals, so there's extinguishing over here. But since the extinguishing is done for the purpose of cooking, for okay nefesh, you see, it's permissible. For that matter, you're also bringing a smell. Right, when you put the basar on it, you molid reha. The smell of the smoke is going into the basar, etc. It's also mutar. It's all kenefesh, and the havara for kenefesh is mutar as well. So therefore, the rabbi wants to say over here, there's no problem to put the spices on the coals in order to smoke the perot. It's no difference than basara gumre. Are you worried about kibui? But when you're putting meat on the fire, also there's a temporary kibui. It goes out first, and then it's okay. Because it's for the purpose of ochel nefesh. So therefore, it should be mutar. So comes the Gemara and says, darash rav giviha. The rabbi called rav giviha mebe katil. From the place of Bekatil, Afetcha debe Resh Galuta. He said this Hadush by the gate or the entrance of the Resh Galut. Keturah Shari. The process called Keturah is permissible. Amale Amemor. So Amemor comes along and says, my Keturah. Well, what is this process that you're talking about, Keturah, that is permissible on Yom Tov? E Keturah bide. If this is talking about where you're taking garments, let's say the pants, or you're taking the shirts that have the pleats, and you want to, let's say, put it on a board and press them, and that's what it means, ketorah. The ketorah literally means a knot. It seems maybe they would call it that because when they would put the clothes on the board to press them, maybe they would tie the clothes on the board to keep them from moving. So if that's what you mean, you're telling me that's mutar on Yom Tov, what do you mean? Ma'aseh umanu. What do you mean? That's expertise work over there. That cannot be permissible. That's a regular craftsman work over there to press the pleats of these garments. There's no way that could be mutar on Yom Tov. If you're going to tell me that when it says ketorah, ketorah comes from the word smoke, because in Aramaic also ketorah can mean smoke, ketoret. So therefore, maybe that's what it means. Ketorah, share, meaning to smoke the spices on the coals. That's what he's telling mutar. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Vi la'ashen asur. Why? Because bottom line, you're extinguishing the coals when you put the spices on the coals. So therefore, what was he talking about? The Gemara says, no, amar le ravashen le'olam le'ashen. No, really, he was talking about ashin, to make the smoke in order to give the fragrance to the perot. Alright, what about the problem of kibui? It's similar to the case of, again, basar on the coals. And just like when you put the basar on the coals, it extinguishes it temporarily. So therefore, the same thing over here, be mutar. So comes the Gemara and says, actually, Rashi just points out that the mulid reha should be noted that we mentioned above, actually happens in the coals, because when you put the basar on the coals themselves, the fragrant of the meat goes into the coals, and still we say that there's no problem of molid reha, because that's the cooking, you're cooking, and therefore that happens, that's not a problem, so therefore there will be no problem of molid reha as well. In any event, Gemara, Ika de Amen, it's another version of this episode. Amar le Amemor, Amemor said, my ketura. What does this word ketura mean? That Rav Giviha said that what ketura on Yom Tov is Share. So what is ketura? Again, if you can tell me, it's talking about where you're taking the clothes and you're pressing them, the pleats. Masi umanu. Can it be? That's considered craftsmanship. If you can tell me, it's smoking. Asur. Why? Because again, you're making a smell, which means you're now taking the spices into the coals and you're giving the coals a fragrant. Making a smell. So Rav Asher says, "Ana amirta nehale." I heard the said halakha from Rav Givya, who mishemed the gavra rabba amirta nehale, and in the name from a great rabbi, I heard from him that leolam neashen. That really, when he said ketera ishari, he was talking about the smoke. Umidi davia basar gumre. What? It's like basar gumre. Just like the basar gives flavor to the, or smell to the coals. And it's not a problem. When you put the coals, the basar on the coals on Yom Tov, it's mutar to cook basar. Aye, the coals are getting a fragrant now from the basar. So what? Mutar. So to over here, it's mutar to put the spices on the coals themselves. Ve'osin gedi mikulas. The Mishnah said that one of the things that Rabban Gamliel was lenient on Yom Tov of Pesach, this was to make what's called the Gedi Mikulas. Gedi Mikulas was roasting the Korban. It wasn't Korban Pesach, obviously, because there was no Bet HaMikdash, but they would roast the Gedi, the goat, and they would take the innards outside of it and put it on the side of the animal when they were roasting it. They call that an armored Gedi, because it looks like a soldier when he goes out to war, he has his ammunition next to him. So the innards would be placed on the side. So he was matirit. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yosei Omer, Rabbi Abraham, Rabbi Yosei, we know this Masechet Pesachim. Todos Ish Romi. Todos Ish Romi was a Jewish man, who was Adam Hashuv. Hinehiget Bene Romi, he accustomed the people of Rome, Le'echol Gedi Mikulas Pelele Pesachim. That was their custom. It was after the Churban Bet HaMikdash that they would make Gedi Mikulas, this roasted armored Gedi, on Lel Pesach. Shalchule, so the rabbi sent to Todos, El Male Todos Ata, for warrant for the fact that you're Todos and you're Adam Hashuv and you're an important man, Guzranu Alecha Nidui. We would put on you Herem. We would excommunicate you. Why? She'atam Ma'achil et Bnei Yisrael Kadashim Bahutz. Because you're feeding Bnei Yisrael Korbanot outside the Bet HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Kadashim sal kadatach? What do you mean? It's not Korbanot. The people didn't bring it as a Korban. How can he say that he's feeding them Korbanot outside the Bet HaMikdash? Ela'ema ke'en kadashim. Now, it looks like you're feeding them Kadashim, because they were roasting the Korban Pesah in the exact way that it was roasted in the times of the Bet HaMikdash. He says, that's a dangerous manhag. People are going to think now you're allowing them to eat Korbanot outside. So you see that Rabban Gamliel also was lenient when it came to Gedim Kulat. Hachamim that were all said, that's because of the Marit Ayin, because it looked like fear eating Korbanot outside the Beit HaMikdash. That's what Hachamim were all said. So Rabban Gamliel and Todos had the same Minhag. Comes the Mishnah. Shilosha Devarim Rabbi El Azar ben Azariah Matir Vachamim Osrim. Okay, now we say there's three things that Rabbi El Azar ben Azariah was Mekel, where the Hachamim were Mahmir. The first thing, Barato Yotza Birtsua Sheben Kaneha. Now Rashi learns the first case is actually a reference to Shabbat. The cow, literally the cow of Rabbi El Azar ben Azariah went out on Shabbat with a red string between its horns. Now, what is this discussion over here? We know on Shabbat, just like it's forbidden for a person to do melacha, it's forbidden for a person's animal to do melacha as well. One of the melachot on Shabbat is what? Hotza'ah, is carrying. And therefore, carrying of an animal to carry also is going to be asur. So, the Hakamim said that a cow, for example, cannot wear this ribbon between its horns, because it's considered a masui, it's considered a burden, it's carrying, and therefore it's a sur. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah held that this is considered noi. It's considered more a tachshit, it's considered more as an ornament, an adornment for the cow itself, and therefore it's not considered carrying. So therefore the first thing he was lenient, that his cow went out on Shabbat with the Ritzua ben Kanea, and he didn't held that it was a problem of carrying. Number two, ומקרדין את הבהמה ביום טוב. Now, מקרדין is, they used to comb the animals. They used to have a special comb. It was made out of metal. It was very very narrow, or let's say small, thin teeth. Okay, that's a good way of saying it. It's called מקרדין. And they would brush the animal. So he allowed it. And the problem is, the rabbis were all saying it, because this metal apparatus would cause the animal sometime to bleed or get a wound. Therefore, the Hakamim was said, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was matir. That's the process called mikardin. Okay. Third thing he allowed, v'shohakin et apelpelin berechayim shelahim, which means you're allowed on Yom Tov to grind the pilpelin, the pepper, with the regular grinder. Which means, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, tochen was not asur on Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. That's one not a melacha that was osir. Therefore, you can grind it in the normal fashion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, en mikardin et habehema b'yom tov. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, sir, you cannot take that metal comb and comb the animal on Yom Tov. Mepenei she'oseh habura. Because you're going to cause the animal to get a wound. Mm-hmm. However, aval mekartsefin. Mekartsefin would be there was a wooden comb that had wide teeth. Now the wooden comb wasn't so abrasive to the animal. Therefore, he holds that it's not going to make a habura. So you're allowed to comb the animal with the wooden. And that would called kirtsuf. Kirtsuf was with the wooden comb. V'achamim omrim, en mekardin, af lo mekartsefin. V'achamim, they all said everything. They say not only can't you use the metal comb, but you can't use the wooden comb as well. The Gemara will explain exactly what this machloket is. Mm-hmm. Comes the Gemara and begins, Lememra de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hada para havyale. The Gemara is smashed from the Mishnah. Parato should Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Right, the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he had one cow. So the Gemara says, what are you telling me? He only had one cow? Ve'amar Rav, ve'amri la, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav, telesar alfe igle, hava ma'aser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah me'edre kol shata ve'shata. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to give 13,000 animals just in ma'aser alone on his animal. That means he used to produce 130,000 animals a year to give 13,000 of it ma'aser be'ema. Now you're telling me, parato shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What parato? He had herds and herds. That's what the Tosafot has a technical problem. He says, what do you mean? There was no ma'aser be'ema in the times of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lived after the Churban Beit HaMikdash. After the Churban Beit HaMikdash, there's no hayuf to give ma'aser be'ema. So the Tosafot wants to say, could be it's talking about when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was young. So when he was young, his apotropos, the administrator of his estate, gave it, because the Beit HaMikdash was still around. So therefore, when the Rabbi Elazar was still a baby and the Beit HaMikdash was around, he had an estate, he had a Yerusha. So the administrator gave the Ma'aseh Be'emah to the Beit HaMikdash. Or it means Tam, he would give it to the king as you know, Ma'aseh, as a gift. Just not as the legal Ma'aseh Be'emah, but as a as a gift to the king at the time. And anybody had much more than one cow. So the Gemara says, no, Tana, lo shelo aita. This cow that they referred to in the Mishnah was not the Bil Azam and Azariyaz. Ela shel shekhenato aita. It belonged to his neighbor. Because he did not rebuke her, because she was letting her cow go out on Shabbat with his tzitzah ben kanea, where this is carrying. So the Bil Azab ben Azariah should have gone and rebuked the neighbor and said, hey, this is asur. And therefore, since he did not rebuke her, so therefore the Mishnah gives the, as if it was the Bil Azab ben Azariah's cow itself. Now again, he himself didn't rebuke her because he held, it's mutar. But what? He's da'at yahid. He should have told her, listen, even though I hold it's mutar, the hachamim, my colleagues argue on me, yahid v'rabim, and al-kakarabim, and therefore, you know, you should follow. But the Rabbi Azar himself really held, it is indeed mutar, because he held it as a takshit. But still the Mishnah says parato. It's as if Rabbi Azar's para went out on Shabbat, because he did not rebuke his neighbor. Umekaredin et abehema biyum tov. Right, so the Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Azar, you could use that metal comb in order to comb the animal on Yom Tov. Tanu Rabbanan. Ezu kirud, ve'ezu kirsuf. Okay, what is kirud? What is kirsuf? What are these two different procedures? Kirud ketanim ve'osim habura. Kirud is the thin metal teeth that you comb the animal, and it causes the animal to get a habura, a wound. Kirsuf gedorim. Kirsuf is the more wooden wide tooth or thick tooth. Ve'en osim habura, and it does not cause a habura. Ve'gimel mahloket bedavar, and there's a three-way mahloket on this subject. Rabbi Yehuda savar davar she'en mitkaven asur. Rabbi Yehuda holds this. Davar she'en mitkaven. Even if you're not mitkaven to make a habura, doesn't matter. Davar she'en mitkaven. If it happens, it's going to be asur. Mihu. Kirud ketanim ve'osim habura, kirsuf gedolim ve'enosim habura, ve'lo gazlinan kirsuf atu kirud. Which means Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, I'll let you use the wooden comb. Why? The wooden comb doesn't make a habura. And I'm not going to make a gezerah on the wooden comb atu the metal comb. The metal comb is a problem. Why should it be a problem? I'm not mitkaven. I want to just comb the animal. I don't want to make a habura. It doesn't matter. Yos davashen mitkaven asur. So therefore, to use the metal comb, asur. However, to use the wooden comb, mutar. And the hadith of Rabbi Yehuda is not gozer. Wooden comb, atu, metal comb. That's shita number one. Verabbanan savri namekin Rabbi Yehuda. The rabbis also like Rabbi Yehuda that what? Davar she'en mitkaven asur. V'gaziran kirsuf atu kirud. However, they do make a gezerah. They say you can't use the wooden comb, because if you allow you to use the wooden comb, you might mistakenly use the metal comb. So therefore, they also davar she'en mitkaven, because the guy's not mitkaven over to make a habura. Doesn't matter. Davar she'en mitkaven asur. And they make a gezerah. V'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah savar la k'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says all combs are permissible. Why? Because he holds like Rabbi Shimon de'amar, davar she'enu mitkaven mutar. As long as you don't have kavanah, guy doesn't have kavanah to make habura over here. The guy's just combing the animal, and therefore he says ben kirud or ben kirsuf share. Whether you're using the kirud, whether you're using the metal comb, or whether you're using the wooden comb, either one's going to be mutar. We don't make a gezerah. So that's the three-way machloket. Again, let's review. Rabbi Yehuda says metal comb asur, wooden comb mutar. Hakamim say everything's going to be asur. Bend the wooden comb and bend the metal comb, because we make a gezerah. Rabbi Shimon's going to be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to hold like Rabbi Shimon and say everything is mutar, because Rabbi Shimon holds davar she'en mitkaven mutar, and therefore there's no hiduk between this comb and that comb. Everything is mutar. Amarav Nachman Amar Shimue Vamrila Amar La. How about Rav Nachman Nechudes? Rav Nachman said, Halakha k'Rabbi Shimon. That Halakha is going to follow Rabbi Shimon, that what the Davar She'en Mitkaven is mutar. Why? Share Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah modelo. He has a partner. You see, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agrees with him. So therefore, what did Rabbi Shimon say? In Masechet Shabbat, if you remember, we learned, he held Gorer, Adam, Mita, Safsal, Kiseh, V'Safsal, which is a person allowed to take a bed. or a chair or a bed, right? And he had to drag it on the ground, right? Ubelvad shelo yitkaven lasot haritz. So long as he's covered eyes, he's not making a haritz. He wants to move the bed. It might happen that he's going to make a furrow in the ground and davar shem yitkaven. So to that, it's not a psikra shir. It's not going to inevitably happen. So therefore, the Gemara wants to say over here. From here, we see that Rabbi Elazar ben Azar also subscribes to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Davar shem yitkaven mutar. Therefore, halakha ke Rabbi Shimon and Masechet Shabbat that says gorer adam mita kisev safran. Therefore, you have no problem. That's what Rav Nachman wanted to say. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rav Vada Rav Nachman velema amor halakha ke Rabbi Yehuda shari hachamim modim lo. Hey, if that's the way you're being posek halakha, because you found that he has a partner, so say to Yehuda, halakha is like him. Why? Because we have the hachamim in this Mishnah that are following the rule of Rabbi Yehuda said, "Davar shem mitkaven asur." And therefore, the rabbis now Mishnah said, "Ben kirsuf, ben kirud is going to be asur, whether it's the wooden comb, whether it's the metal comb." So, Rav Nachman, if your style of the psak is, you know what, we're going to go like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azar goes like him. So, for the same money, you can say we go like Rabbi Yehuda because I have a chanim that go like Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, "No, amale ana k'Rabbi Shimon svirale." He says, "No, I hold like Rabbi Shimon." Because I hold the Varshim and Kaviz Mutah. That's my starting point. I hold like him. And furthermore, we have support from Rabbi Elazar ben Azar. The reason that he held like Rabbi Shimon is not because Rabbi Elazar ben Azar necessarily went like him. He held like Rabbi Shimon because that's what he held. And by the way, also Rabbi Elazar ben Azar also happens to concur. So add that to the list. But not that one was really dependent on the other. Comes the next Mishnah. Arechayim shel pilpelin, the grinder that they used to use for the pepper, to grind the pepper. Teme'a mishum shelosha kelim. It is indeed tameh on account of three different vessels. The grinders in the olden days were made out of three different sections. Each part independently is considered a vessel to receive tum'a. But each part is tameh for a different reason. And the Mishnah explains, Mishum kli kibul, number one, because of a receptacle. The bottom piece of the grinders were made out of wood. Now we have a rule. A wooden vessel can only become mekabel tum'ah if it has a receptacle, if it has a kli kibul. So since the bottom receptacle that would receive the ground pepper was a wooden vessel that had a kli kibul, so that on its own can become tameh. The next one, umishum keli matechet. Now, the top part of the grinder, that was where they would grind, it was also made out of wood. However, it was plated on the bottom with metal. Now, since the main part of the apparatus was the metal, so we don't look at the wood, we look at the metal part of it. And the rule is that a metal keli has the ability to mekabel tumah. So the top part, even though it's not a kli kibul, it's not receiving anything, but it's a functional keli, a metal keli, because it has that plate of metal around it when you're grinding. So therefore the top part is also going to be tameh mishum kli matechet. What's the third part? Mishum keli kevara. The centerpiece of the apparatus of the grinder was a wooden keli. However, it wasn't a kli kibul. It was just like a sieve. Like it was like a it looked like a woven screen, we'll call it, let's say, where the pepper would go through it. Right? The good part would go down and the bad part would stay above it. Now, the chaura, it's a wooden sieve, shouldn't have a din of a tum'ah. It's not a kli kibul. However, the hachamim forbade such a keli, meaning not forbade it, but said it's mekabel tum'ah, because it looks like a garment. Because it has that weave. Right? And we know a garment that has the weave to it is going to be mekabel tum'ah. So therefore, the centerpiece of the item is tameh mishum kli kevara. Kli kevara is items of sieve are also going to be tameh. Now we can read, actually let's read the Gemara, then we'll read all the Rashis. Tana. Tahtona mishum kli kibul. The bottom vessel, like we said, is a wooden receptacle. Imsa'it mishum kli kevara. The middle sieve is going to be Pekabel tumah because of its kli kevara, because of its kasiv, elyona, and the top apparatus is going to be asur mishum keli matechet because it is a metal. Let's read the Rashi from the Mishnah. Teme'a mishum shelosha kelim, mekabelet tumah al shem shelosha kelim. Nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? Di'i name azal had, Shema mina teme'a, azal had shema mina teme'a mishum idach, which means let's say one of the kelim is not there anymore. So you don't have an apparatus anymore. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Each keli independently is considered a keli on its own, even without the other vessel, and therefore it still has a shem keli on it. You might think a normal keli, once it breaks, it's not a keli anymore. Finished. Here, even if one of the pieces is missing, it's still called a keli. And therefore, it can still be received tumah. Next rashi. Tachtona shemekabelet avaka pilpilin. Right, it receives the pepper itself.
Yeah.
When it falls through the sieve, mishum kli kibul. Shekli etz yesh lo bet kibulu. I keli etz has a bet kibul. Finish. Emsai chi makefet at the mechbar that's surrounding the mechbar, the lower vessel. Mishum keli etz. Now mishum keli etz lo mitamea. It cannot be mekabel tumah just because it's keli etz. The end kibula kibul. It's not a bet kibul. Just a flat flat piece. Ela hachamim gazru tumah la kevara. Mishum arug. The rabbis forbid, may put an isur of tumah on the kevara because it's woven. And so therefore, it looks like a beged. Vafidu era mechbar shel matechet metameh mishum kli kevara. Even if it's not made out of metal, it's going to be mekabel tumah regardless. Vishidanu shushel matechet vaday temeh mishum pishutek li matechet. In Nashi's time, the centerpiece was made out of metal. Says for us, there's no she'elah. Because when it comes to a metal vessel, you don't have to have a kli kibul. So there was our version, the middle piece is without a she'elah. In the olden days, they're made out of wood. Hadus mishum kli kevara. Ve'elyona, shemechatshin v'shohakin ba'pilpilin. That's the apparatus that they would use to actually grind and crush. Teme'a mishum kli matechot. Now, the mishum kli etz leka l'timuya, the pishutein teorim. It's not a kli kibul, the top part. So therefore, you cannot metamet from kli etz, ela mishum sipui tachton. It was plated on the bottom with metal. Shur ikar. That's the main part of the vessel. The etz batel etzlo. The etz becomes batel. Therefore, it's going to become tamen. Now we go to the next mishnah. The next mishnah says, Agala shel katan teme'a midras v'nitelet b'shabbat v'ena nigreret ela al gabei kelim. Now let's review some of the laws of Tumah v'Tahara. We learned, for example, by a Zav. A Zav is a male that had a secretion to come out of his body that renders him Tameh. He himself becomes an Avat Tumah, and anything that he sits on, or lies on, or puts his weight on, specifically a vessel that's designated for sitting, that has to be designated for sitting, like a chair or a bed or things like that. So then that item also becomes what's called Tameh Midras, which also becomes an Avat Tumah. So now the discussion is here on an agala, a wagon. The children in the olden days used to have like a stroller or a wagon that they used to go around with. Now, the kids sometimes would sit in the wagon. They would lean on the wagon as well. That's what it was made for. That was its function. So now we're talking about a case where, let's say, the child becomes a zav. Okay, so now he has tum'ah. When he leans on the wagon, he's putting his weight, that wagon now will become Tameh Midras. Or if he sits in the wagon, since it's designated for sitting or leaning on, therefore it's subject to the law of Tumat Midras. So that's the first din of the Mishnah. Agala Shel Katan Teme'ah Midras. Okay? Number two, V'nitelet B'Shabbat. You should know that this item is not Mukseh on Shabbat, meaning it has the status of a Keli. Now, when you're going to roll it, you can only roll it on kelim, which means vessels. Over here, kelim doesn't mean vessels, it means like clothing, as opposed to strolling it or rolling it on the ground, on the earth. Because we're going to roll it on the ground, the Gemara is assuming you're going to make a furrow. So therefore, while you could roll it, but you could only roll it on, let's say, a rug or a garment and things like that, well, you're not going to make a problem of making a furrow. Then the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, כל הכלים אין נגררים חוץ מן העגלה מפני שהיא חובשת. He says the exact opposite. He says on the contrary. All vessels, meaning things that you drag, yes, it has to be on the kelim, on clothes, so you don't make a furrow. Except for the agala. The agala is the only exception where you can wheel it on ground. Why? Because koveshet. It doesn't make a furrow. The wheels actually just press the ground in a little more. So that's not considered furrow. Furrow means that it lifts dirt and makes a that makes like a hole. Here, it's not making a hole. It just depresses the ground that's under the wheel, and therefore, yeah, that's not considered making a furrow. So he allows the agala. Let's read Rashi in the Mishnah. Agala shel katan. It's from the play. V'yoshev aleha, he sits in it, or on it. U'metaltelin oto aleha. They carry it, etc. Metamea midras. Ima tinok zav. Let's say the tinok became a zav. Na'asita agala avatuma. The agala itself becomes avatuma. Why? T'miyuhedet nishibai. As we learned, it's designated for sitting. Because the katan, he leans on it, puts his weight on it. We learned that if, let's say, a person's zav sits on a barrel, if that barrel is not designated for sitting, for example, his colleagues tell him, hey, amod, get up from the barrel, we gotta go back to work. Okay. That barrel is not considered designated for sitting, he's just using it for a temporary rest. So therefore, that's not mekabel tumah. However, if it was not designated for sitting or leaning on, lo avi avatuma kedetana yachol kafase avi yashavale, etc. Good. V'nitele b'shabbat, you're allowed to move it on Shabbat. Why? The Torah keli aliyah, because the agala has the status of a keli. Ve'ena negredet b'shabbat ed al gabe kelim. Now when it says kelim, it means al gabe begadim. Because if you're going to drag this on the ground, it's going to make a furrow. Hafidaz asur, obviously on Shabbat, because it's making a plowing. Now, there are other rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's mutar to wheel this on the ground. This furrow that you see on the ground, we'll call it the tracks. Correct. That you see, lo al yedei hafirahu. It's not the pshat that the ground was uprooted from the ground. Ela koveshet vedoreset hakarka. All the wheels do is they just press the ground. V'nidosh tachteya v'naaseh mekoma namuch. And it just lowers the ground. Exactly. Aval eno zu afar, azaz afar mekoma. It's not moving afar from its place. Now the Gemara explains. Agala shel katan teme'a midras. The reason why the agala of the katan is teme'a midras, de'a samich and laveh. Again, because he presses his weight and he leans on it. If what's miyuhedet for that, if what's mekabel tumah. V'nitelet b'shabbat mishum di'ika turat keli aleh. Because it has a turat keli, it's considered a vessel. Therefore, it's non-mukseh. Ve'ra negreret el al-gabe kelim. Al-gabe kelim in. Al-gabe karka la. Because you're making a harit, you're making a furrow. So the Gemara says, Mani, who could be the author of that statement? Rabbi Udai. Because according to Rabbi Yehudah, he says, even if you're not mitkaven, it's a sunnah. When they're strolling this wagon on the ground, they have kavanah to make a haritz? No. And still the Gemara is saying what? The Mishnah is saying, on the ground, asur. So who must be the author of the beginning of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehudah, who says, davar she mitkaven asur. Di'i Rabbi Shimon, amar davar she mitkaven mutar. Why? Because the Tanya, we have a bright Rabbi Shimon, omer, gorer, adam, mitah, kiseh, v'safsal, v'vach shu itkaven la'asot haritz. Quote Rabbi Shimon, you'd be allowed to wheel the stroller on the ground, even if it makes a haritz. Why? Because you're not mitkaven. So then we have to say the resha of our Mishnah that says, lo al dafka al kelim, but not on the ground, must be going according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The only problem is ema sefa. What do we have a question from the end of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda omer en akon nigrarim b'shabbat chutz min agala mipni shi koveshet. The Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that dafka the agala can be wheeled on the ground because it doesn't make a haritz. It only depresses the ground. But it doesn't make a haritz. So make up your mind. You tell me the resh of the Mishnah that says you can't put it on the ground. Oh, that's the Biuda. Because it's making a haritz. The Vashem mitkaven is asur. Sefer of the Mishnah clearly says, the Biuda says, mutar, mepneshi koveshet. Koveshet in. No, make up your mind. How can the Biuda be saying both halachot, the contradictory? So the Gemara answers, Tre Tanae Valibad Rabbi Yehuda. It's actually two different Tanaim that are arguing in what the Biuda holds. Rashi explains that. Thus, less Rashi. Tre Tanae Valibad Rabbi Yehuda. Had Sabar Agalan Ame Kishar Kedim De Ose Hariz Begrerata. Which means, The first opinion that was osir to wheel the agala on the ground says an agala is no different than any other vessel, because when you drag it or when you stroll it, shepa'amim she'en ha'ofan mitgalgel, sometimes the wheel doesn't turn correctly. V'un nigrar v'hofer. Now when you're strolling, sometimes the wheel gets locked and doesn't turn, and that's what's gonna uproot some karka. If it's going to be considered a problem of hofer ve'idach, and the second shita of the Mishnah that says it's permissible, savar lo shchiya hachem. It might happen, but it's not so prevalent that such a thing is going to happen. Ve'ena ela kovesh shetachat galgalan. The worst it's going to be is just depressing the ground, and therefore sreta ve'e alibad Rabbi Yehuda adran alach yom tov. Baruch Adonai Yehudam. Amen ve'amen.